When we hear the phrase doubting Thomas, what do you hear more loudly? The doubting or the Thomas? As we come to God's gospel today, as we come to a word about Thomas, it is imperative for us, children of God, each of us, to hear more clearly that Jesus Christ was calling to Thomas, his follower, his disciple, his friend, and that for us who are so easily enamored by the names and descriptions which are attached to people, we being master name callers ourselves, that we understand that at the heart of this gospel was not doubt, but a person who failed in his belief for a time. It strikes me that as I look at John chapter 20, there are two things that are true, and we should not overlook them. First of all, that John chapter 20 is about the resurrection of Jesus. The Son of God died for your sins. He was raised bodily from the grave, and by his bodily resurrection, he conquered sin, death, and the devil finally and fully. His work of salvation completed on the cross was vindicated by his release from the tomb. And we celebrate that. John chapter 20 is about the resurrection. John chapter 20 is about you believing in the resurrection. Blessed are you who believe without seeing. Faith is a part of this conversation, and therefore also unbelief or doubt is also a part of this conversation. But make no mistake about it, faith and our salvation are not abstractions. Faith and our salvation are always tied to the person and love of God that is offered and intended for people who are beloved of that God, people like you and I. And so today, we dare not miss that at the heart of this gospel lesson is the fact that on Sunday evening, there were some people gathered frighteningly in an upper room. And they were doing what people do in the face of confusion and in the face of terror. They gather, they lock themselves in, and they hope that they live to see the sunlight of another day. And in that moment, when those disciples were there in that upper room, a person came into that room. Not a figment of their imagination, not a ghost, not some abstract theological concept that we've named Jesus. No, it was the second person of the Trinity. A person came and stood among people who were there in their fear of terror, and he spoke to them. He spoke to them in human, people-oriented words, and he showed them his person, his hands, his feet, his side. He referenced another person, the first person of the Trinity. As the Father sent me to you, now I am sending you to others. People, 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 people. It's all about people. We are, John chapter 20 tells us, completely gospel people from beginning, the author of our salvation, to the end, which is the mission of God. And at the heart of this mission to people, two words: peace and forgiveness. If we are about the mission of the gospel, then what we bring into the lives of others is peace and forgiveness. Again, I remind you, it's not some kind of abstract theological peace from God. It is all of that, but it speaks rest, Sabbath rest, experiential rest to a troubled heart. Forgiveness, not understood, again, as some theological concept out there, but the knowledge that your sins that you can document, and even the sins that you can't document, but God knows, and that still scares you to death. Every one of those sins has been canceled by the cross and forgiven through the mercy of God. It so happens that one of the disciples wasn't there. Thomas was not there. Not doubting Thomas, no, just Thomas. A friend of Jesus, one who had spent long hours on dark roads with him, seeing miracles, ministering to the poor and the helpless. He heard that they saw the Lord, but he was slow to believe. We are told 8 days later, while the disciples were together again, the fear having subsided, I guess, the doors still locked, Jesus comes and stands among them, offers that same kind of peace, and then he turns to the person of Thomas. Let's get you caught up, Thomas. Let's make sure that you haven't fallen away. Let's make sure that you have not been excluded from the group. Let's make sure that you still understand you're one of my people. You're one of my peeps, my Easter peeps. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaims. Again, a theological confession, to be sure. A confession and a faith that is to be ours, for sure. But I have to imagine that when he said those words, Thomas wasn't thinking abstractly. He was looking at the second person of the Trinity. He was looking at Jesus from Nazareth, and he said, "This person is this person's Lord and God." People meeting people. Jesus told him, "You, Thomas, believe because you saw me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me, and now we get to you." Easter is about confessing the resurrection of Jesus. But more than that, it is about confessing the resurrection of Jesus as people who are loved by God and who are called to go out and bring that love into the world. We are gospel people. And today we sin greatly against this word when we deny the resurrection, diminish the role of faith in our Christian witness. That is, faith, how do we obtain the benefits of God when we make life with Jesus, spirituality, something more than simply trusting in his promises? We sin against this word, we sin against God. But we sin against God as well when we allow all the names and all the evaluations and characteristics that we look at people with. She's poor. He's dumb. They're smart. They live there. All these descriptors that we put around people, when we allow all those names, all those descriptions, all that adjective to cloud the fact that when all is said and done, that person is a child of God. That person was one for whom Christ died, just like me. Thank God. Thank God. When God looks at me, he sees a beloved child and gives so greatly into that love that he would offer his son to die for my sins. Today we're reminded we are gospel people first and foremost, and this story, not of doubting Thomas, just simply Thomas, drives that truth home for us. And so as we come and put our hearts before this altar, as we receive the means of grace this morning, the body and blood of Christ through bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins, that you would come and you would taste and see that the person of our Lord Jesus Christ is good, and that you would commit as you leave this altar, as you leave this room, as you leave this building, to be a gospel person and bring that gospel to those people that God has put in your life so that you may bring to them peace, the forgiveness that you yourself have come to know. Amen.